the Business Zone of Kello News Talk 1320 107.9. It's Unique Real Estate on Sioux Falls Radio, and it's the only show of its kind in the area. This is It's Your Business. And now, here is your conductor, the maestro, and your host for the show, Bill Zortman.
Good morning. I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Business. It's show 657 in our original It's Your Business series. Rev, that's 657.
I got you both times, Bill.
Yeah, you're good. You're good at what you do. Rev, as you know, traditionally on Tuesdays 9 to 10, we rotate our two featured segments. First and third Tuesdays, the remodelers. Second and fourth Tuesdays, addiction and recovery. Today, though, one of those three times we get a year, a fifth Tuesday. So what were we going to do? I was going to clear my throat a little bit, and then we're going to talk about healthcare from several different perspectives. You'll hear from Tim Bordell, the Sanford Center for Digestive Health and Gastro Clinic. You'll hear Jody Perrette, Clinic Manager, Plastic Surgery Associates. Dr. Nicole, Designer Dentistry and Smiles. Plus, a late entry this morning, we heard from Sanford. And we have some late information on affordable health that we'll provide beginning about 9:40. But let's start with Tim from Sanford Center for Digestive Health and Gastro Clinic. He was reminding me as we were outside that I cheered for the wrong team the last three football seasons. Tim, come on now.
Well, that's right, Bill. I mean, you're in Sioux Falls, but no, we really appreciate and respect the support you show for high school sports. And you know, it's Brandon Valley, and they've been very competitive. And, you know, they should be very proud of how they've compared to, you know, how we've been branded the big schools. And they've done very well. They've represented very well. So I certainly understand your passion.
You bet. And they're kind of the fifth wheel to that. And well, if you're going to have five, that's not bad.
That's right. That's exactly right. Makes for a good conference.
You bet. Tim, the last time we talked was at the Sanford Health Fair at the Sioux Empire Mall a couple of weeks ago. But the questions are still there and are sure that our listeners today would like to protect themselves. So let's get right to it, if you don't mind.
I don't.
You were sharing with me, as we talked late yesterday, a very important number about cancer. One brand moving from number two on the list of killers to number three.
That's right. Colorectal cancer, when I first started working with this group of physicians and all the nurses and technicians and staff in the Center for Digestive Health, colorectal cancer was the second leading cancer killer in adults. Some of the most recent reports coming out of some of the national think tanks or research organizations is demonstrating that's actually dropped to number three. And the theory behind why they believe that it's now perhaps showing up as the third leading cancer killer in adults is because of the effectiveness and the availability of screening for colorectal cancer. There's a number of tests you can have done, but the gold standard for colorectal cancer screening is the colonoscopy.
All right, let's get right into some of the things that people always talk about with colonoscopies. And one of those is the prep, the fear. What am I going to do? And some of the people who say, what difference does it make? And they may show, as they come in for the colonoscopy, they haven't prepped, they haven't cleaned out.
Right. You know, and everybody goes to that. And the reason they go to that part of this test is that's the hard part. If you make it through that part, the rest is easy. But, you know, there's a lot of different colonoscopy preparations out there, and you need to follow the instructions as given to you by your doctor or the screening center, the endoscopy center that's going to do your procedure, because it's absolutely critical that you follow those instructions and get cleaned out, or the doctor can't see what he needs to be able to see in order to do the procedure. And the worst thing that can happen to you is to maybe not get it all drank, or maybe not follow the dietary restrictions correctly, and then we bring you in for a procedure and you're not cleaned out and the doctor can't see. And then you most likely will prep again that day and come back the following day for the procedure, and then now you're almost 2.5, almost 3 days with no solid food. And that makes it a barrier to screening. But once people get through that, that's the hard part.
Tim, why and what does the doctor that's doing the procedure look for after you're cleaned out?
Well, it's a great question, Bill. What they do is they use the colonoscope to go through the entire large bowel or the colon until they get to the end, the terminal ileum, and then they backwards on their way back out is when they're doing surveillance for colon polyps. And polyps can take many shapes and many sizes, but they're biopsying different regions of the colon. If they see something that looks a little bit unusual, perhaps there's infection there. If you're having a screening colonoscopy, primarily they're looking for polyps.
All right, so a colonoscopy, when, how important is it, and at what age does it become critical mass?
Well, that's going to be a great segue into the next topic, but traditionally, people without any risk factors for colorectal cancer should start getting screened for colorectal cancer at age 50. Most health plans will cover screening colonoscopy at age 50. If you have other risk factors in your family, perhaps there's a history of adenomatous or precancerous polyps, you should perhaps start about the age where they were found in that person. If you have other medical symptoms where there's suggestion that there might be a problem, they're going to do the procedure early. And it won't be a screening colonoscopy at that point. It'll be a therapeutic or diagnostic procedure. But by and large, age 50 is where we tell people that they should start thinking about getting in and getting screened.
Does that change when you get to 60, 70, 80?
No, it doesn't. Understand that the polyps traditionally are slow growing. But that's why it's so important to have that initial screening at age 50, because that gives us, that gives everybody, you, your doctor, your primary care physician, even your health plan, an idea of what risk you're at for developing colorectal cancer in the future.
Tim Bordahl, Sanford Center for Digestive Health and Gastro Clinic, hereditary traits. One of the things that always concerns me are people that saying, you know, after I had that procedure, my parents told me we had a history of polyps in the family.
Yeah. That's actually happened to me personally. My mother has a history of adenomatous polyps. I was also having some symptoms, but I actually, when I had those symptoms treated, had the procedure, and they found the adenomatous polyps at that age. And so I need to keep that in mind and be talking to my kids about, you know, colorectal cancer screening, about the age where I was found to have them, so that, you know, maybe the recommendations will change. Maybe the data will be different, but at least they can have a thoughtful discussion with their primary care physician about this risk factor.
The I word, insurance. In today's age, you usually have a gatekeeper that is going to precede you on or nag you until you do something.
Right. And you know, I'm not an insurance expert, Bill, but what I can tell you from my experience is right now there's a lot of confusion about what's covered, what's not covered. Why is it covered as a screening examination, but they went in there, they did the procedure, they found polyps, and it wasn't coded as a screening procedure, and I got a big bill. It went to my coinsurance and my deductible. You know, that's a pretty common scenario that we deal with almost every day, where people are coming in to get screened and a screening colonoscopy is covered by their insurance plan. However, during the procedure, we find adenomatous polyps, precancerous polyps, they're removed. That's a therapeutic procedure. You no longer have the risk for colorectal cancer because we've seen your colon, we've removed all the precancerous polyps, but you're going to have to come back in 5 years for surveillance to make sure that you don't have them growing again. And that's a source of frustration. And what I would submit to everybody, to the listeners, is just check with your insurance plan. You need to, everybody, for the most part, has had a significant change to their health insurance in the past year. If it didn't get to you last year during an open enrollment period toward the end of the calendar year, then hang on, because it's coming this year. And what you need to be aware of is, what does my insurance cover and what doesn't it cover? And then you can make better decisions about what do I choose in terms of healthcare purchases.
Tim, you know this story, but I'm going to repeat it again. It was about 5 or 6 years ago that my wife, being a GI nurse, and the doc out in Hartford said, you need to go in. You're at that age where you need to be checked. Do a colonoscopy. I wound up with Dr. Schmidt. So we decided on this radio show for me to have Dr. Schmidt in and kind of explain the prep, as you've done today. And then they took pictures of Schmidt looking down at me as I'm on the table. And then we came back in, and he gave the report on what they found. And we talked about the importance of this. And I think he would probably tell you today that that kind of one-to-one where he was dealing with me, I dealt with my fears on prepping and everything else, got 200 or so calls, people concerned about their own health. So I didn't go back on the table today with you coming in, Tim, I have to tell you.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea anyway.
But, you know, mine was okay. They didn't find polyps, so I didn't need to come back in the 5 years. As
right.
I understand it,
yep.
Mine is now a 10-year wait.
Yep.
But I would repeat the same thing that I did.
Right.
Come on in, get it checked. It's your family. It's your body. Get it done.
It's so important. And, you know, at the end of the day, at the end of that procedure, and, yeah, it's uncomfortable, and we know that the preparation is a barrier to many people getting a colon screening. But at the end of the day, once you've made it all the way through the procedure, you do get to start eating again right away. You can make it through it. And the most important thing is you can look your loved ones in the eyes, those people that are closest and most dear to you, and tell them you don't have colorectal cancer. Even if we find a cancer, in many cases, we're able to refer you directly to a colorectal surgeon. They work right in the same suite with us, and you get a procedure and you get it removed, and you're fine. If we just take the polyps out, you're never going to get it. And if you don't smoke and you get regular colorectal cancer screenings, you've eliminated the risks from about 80% of the cancers that can kill you.
How do they find you with your center?
You can contact the Sanford Center for Digestive Health by calling 328-8500. What we prefer is that you work with your primary care physician. You don't need to be referred. You can refer yourself, and we're inviting people to do that. But one of the things we've also learned is that it's so critical for you to have a primary care physician to direct all areas of your care. And we certainly share those reports and results with those people as well. So you can do it either way. Go through your primary care doctor or call us directly at 328-8500.
Tim Bordahl, Sanford Center for Digestive Health and Gastroclinic. Tell your son he's had a great career at Roosevelt.
I appreciate that, Bill. Thank
you. And secretly, with the fact that my daughter-in-law, Chris Ortman,
oh, sure.
Has some ties to Roosevelt.
My daughter played volleyball for her for a number of years.
I kind of cheer for you.
I appreciate
except that. Except for a couple of times a year.
I appreciate that very Jim, much. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks That's for joining.
I had the big C, Bill.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. The big C. And like you said, the prep the night before was the bummer thing, but actually had a good time doing the procedure. Does that make you laugh, or does that make any sense?
That does. Okay. And I understand. What I'm concerned about is what I might say during that procedure when I'm knocked out.
But well, yeah.
They can't repeat that anyway.
It doesn't take That's long right. to get you so. Under there either. So,
our second medical stop this morning will be the Plastic Surgery Associates of South Dakota and Spencer, Iowa. What you need to know, regardless of whether you're a man or woman, when It's Your Business continues.
Jody Perrett, Clinic Manager, Plastic Surgery Associates, has joined us on It's Your Business. Jody, welcome aboard today.
Thank you for having me.
You know, people choose plastic surgery for a variety of reasons. Let's kind of go into some of those today and why they should be comfortable with Plastic Surgery Associates.
Plastic Surgery Associates is here to help you feel better about yourself, whether it's a non-invasive procedure like Botox, Juvederm, Voluma, anything as a non-invasive injectable, or a full surgery, breast augmentation with implants, liposuction, abdominoplasty, whatever you need, we are here to help you. We also have our own medical grade skincare line. We can go through any of the skincare needs that you need with the SPFs for the summer sunlight that's just hitting us finally, or we can also help you with your daily cleansers, moisturizers, night creams, whatever you would need.
All right, homegrown docs.
Correct.
And grown surgeons, how do you decide which one you should go to?
They're all three good, and they all three specialize in any of the plastic and reconstructive surgeries. So you really do not have any specialized surgeon in one particular avenue of it. What we normally do is, if you do not have a preference, we have a rotating schedule that we assign. If you have a preference by referral, by word of mouth, we will give you to that particular surgeon that you are requesting.
Generally, we think of plastic surgery with women, but that's changing a little bit.
It is. It's not the case anymore. We are seeing men come in for a variety of reasons also. We've seen them come in for tattoo removal, laser hair removal. We've also seen them come in for Botox and fillers on their face, which is just really becoming popular because they are just as self-conscious about their appearance as women are.
Plastic Surgery Associates website is www.plasticsurgery.org. And you're more than just one location, aren't you?
We are. We have another clinic in Dakota Dunes. We also see patients in Yankton, Watertown, and Spencer, Iowa.
Most popular plastic surgery procedure that you do?
Cosmetically, breast augmentations.
So how does that work? We have a woman that's saying she's considering that. How would she call in? Who would she talk to?
She'd call in. The receptionist is who she would be speaking with. The receptionist would help her get scheduled for a consultation with one of our board-certified plastic surgeons. During her appointment, the plastic surgeon will go through the pros and cons of the surgery, what her expectations are, what he feels would be best for her based upon her expectations. And then at that point, she would be able to proceed with scheduling the surgery. Or if she wanted to go home, think about it, she can always call back and schedule should she decide to follow through.
Skin, this time of year, a real risk.
Absolutely.
People don't always wear hats that cover their ears.
That's right.
Some guy that's talking to you right now didn't do that, and I got tacked for that. And I've had to find a skin care product that works. So, and I'm sure I'm not alone. We think that we're invincible, but we find out as I do a little plucking here and there, we're not.
No, you're not. SPF is very important, whether the sun is shining or it's cloudy. It reflects off of the concrete when you're driving. It reflects through your glass. Everybody should be wearing sunscreen on a daily basis.
Yes, I've heard that. I just hope I start remembering to do that.
We'll get you taken care of.
Thank you. You know, we have the facility here in Sioux Falls that we're sitting in right now, but you have other places that you have clinics. How do they work together?
We can see a patient in any of those clinics and do surgeries in any of those locations, or we can also see them in those clinics, do surgeries in Sioux Falls, in our own office in Sioux Falls, or follow them in those clinics. We can see them in any of those locations. It's just what is most convenient for the patient.
Recovery time should be something that's discussed in advance, not get blindsided.
Perfect.
And there is no dumb question.
That is right.
Ask that question.
That is right. That's a good question to ask when you are visiting with the physician, because every procedure has a different amount of downtime. One procedure may be a 7 to 10 day downtime, and another procedure may be a 3 to 5 week downtime. It just depends on what exactly you are having done.
Good place to look, do your own research, is your website.
That's correct. PlasticSurgeryAssociatesOfSD.com is our website. We can get you more information that you need, pre- and post-op photos. You can ask questions. There is some dictorial from each of the physicians. We update it regularly with additional photos.
Most asked question?
How quick can I get in for a consultation?
And you get that a lot?
Yes, and then when can I have my surgery?
And the general answer would be?
We can normally get you in within a couple weeks for the consultation, and generally just a few weeks later for the surgery.
Most of the plastic surgery procedures you do are not life-threatening.
Absolutely
not. So they are something that you can set your time once you have the surgeon in place, once you have your schedule that coordinates with the plastic surgery service that you have here. So basically, you're on a time frame that works if you plan ahead.
Correct. As long as you have a time period that you're looking at and give us enough notice, we can work with your schedule.
You have another doctor coming. Do you want to mention
our young lady? We do. We are excited to welcome Dr. Jill Murphy. She will be joining our practice August 1st, and we'll be starting to see patients at that time as well.
The glitz is something we mention in every interview we do, but that's the first thing that people think of, regardless of age, is I want to look better, but I don't want to look like that.
Right. Our doctors, being from South Dakota, know that our South Dakotans don't want everybody to know that they've had plastic surgery or cosmetic surgery. So we can do some non-invasive adjustments with the injections, or we can go invasively, but it's going to look natural so that they don't look like that.
Well, it's not plain-looking people. It's people that have planned, people that know where they want to go, and they're getting there with the help of professionals, and that's what Plastic Surgery Associates is all about.
Correct. We are here to help you feel more confident about yourself.
Now, if I remember right, you have facilities in South Dakota and one in...
Iowa.
Spencer, Iowa. Well, that's our story today. If you have some needs, Plastic Surgery Associates, they're well-recognized. They're on our website. They have their own website. And there are no dumb questions. You have surgeons standing by, staff standing by to take care of you.
That's right. We're here to take care of you.
Jody, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon on It's Your Business.
Thank you.
And the correct website is Plastic Surgery Associates of South Dakota is the plasticsurgeryofsd.com. Still to come in our medical hour today, meet Dr. Nicole, Designer Dentistry and Smiles, 41st and Valley View Road, all a part of It's Your Business. Following Fox Business News on the half hour. Dr. Nicole joins us from Designer Dentistry and Smiles. Smile, you're on Candid Business Radio, Dr. Nicole.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me.
When we talk about Designer Dentistry and Smiles, you, of course, are located at 41st and Valley View Road. You've been in practice a long time, and you use the word smiles in a name. You don't hear that very often when it comes to a dentist. Why?
Why do you not hear that so much in a name? I think that's a good question, because really isn't that the first thing that you see when you're looking at someone's teeth is their smile, right? But I think as dentists, we get really honed into a single tooth at a time and forget about, you know, the outside appearance and what you really see when you meet somebody and talk and interact with them and relate with them.
The smile tells the story. And one of the things that will make us smile now is the wand. And a lot of people have had trouble taking those x-rays through the years. You've got a solution.
I do. So the new technology that we have is called a CariView. CariView is a non-radiation alternative or adjunct. So, of course, me being the dentist, I like it as an adjunct. More information for me to make better decisions on how we proceed with treatment is always what I'm after. But like you mentioned, some people just really have a hard time with either fitting the x-rays in or being reluctant to having the exposure to the radiation. So now we have an alternative. The CariView is no radiation, and it uses a real bright light to illuminate the tooth from within, and then at the same time takes a photograph. So I can see what the tooth looks like from the inside out via a photograph rather than an x-ray. It also gives me another dimension. An x-ray looks at the tooth from the cheek side towards the tongue in a two-dimensional view, and this one is going to look from the biting side down. So I get another view of what's going on there.
You've convinced me. Make me feel good already. When someone really is hurting, they have to decide when they're going to call a dentist. Do you have a rule of thumb for that?
Sooner is better. Once you've had a pain and it's been there for a while, I usually have nothing but bad news to give you. and I don't like to be the bad news bearer, so to speak. So the sooner that we can catch things, the more conservative we can be with our treatment, which also means less expensive and less time in the chair. And I know I'm the dentist, but I also realize that nobody wants to spend a whole lot of time in my chair.
Kids, you mentioned the smiles, and that, to me, was as good as a Happy Meal, mentioning the smiles.
Yeah, kids and their smiles are actually more important than anyone may have realized or thought about before. But the way the smile develops, the way the teeth come in and how far they come in, it really shapes the face. And when you have a properly shaped face, not only is that going to be more cosmetic and attractive, but it also helps with forming your airway. So a properly developed smile and face for a child can often mean not having problems with sleep apnea and airway issues, snoring, and other life-threatening issues in adult life.
You know, with the smiles and the designer dentistry, if a youngster coming in, the first exposure they have is Dr. Nicole with a smile, that may kind of help through the years when things get even more serious when those adult teeth come in.
It absolutely does. And then not only Dr. Nicole, but our hygiene team. Our hygienists are very, very good here, and the kids have a great experience with them. And that's where you're spending the majority of your time as a kid, is with your hygienist, getting them cleaned, getting the tour of the mouth, learning how to take those x-rays if that's what's needed, and having, you know, a really positive experience the first several times in makes it so much easier than if you do have to have any dental work down the road.
When you start talking with youngsters, I know I've heard the commercials that you have talk about every few months you should visit with your dentist. And if you set that style for somebody at a young age, it's something that they'll know to do later in life.
Absolutely. And developing those good habits of twice a year having things checked out is really important once they move on to college. That seems to be a popular time to stop doing some of your normal routine. And we're all familiar with that freshman 15. Well, that affects your teeth, too, all those late night cramming sessions, drinking the Mountain Dew and eating the Doritos. I did it too. I remember. But if you're not coming in for your regular checkups, you could be having a pretty serious conversation by the age of 19, 20 years old about having to have teeth removed and some pretty intense stuff if we don't stay on top of it. That's why those every 6 month checks are so important. You want to keep your teeth for the rest of your life.
And that's where I was going to go with you. When you start talking about implants, extractions, fillings, the cleanings and the crowns and the bridge work, that gets pretty serious. And if you have created a relationship with a dentist, a designer dentistry and smiles, it works out for a lifetime.
Absolutely. And the less time in my chair, the happier we both are. So we want you coming in regular and seeing our hygienist, and being preventative and being proactive. And that's one thing I think that really sets us apart, is how comprehensive and proactive we are here in our office to help you avoid having to do some of those more major things in the future.
Sounds to me like you've been in business for a while. How long have you been practicing?
So we've been here in this location in Sioux Falls for 9 years. I've been a practicing dentist for 14.
Did you always smile when you went to the dentist?
I did. I grew up here in Sioux Falls, so I had great experiences as a dentist. I'm sure that has a lot to do with why I pursued it as a career.
Dr. Nicole, designer, dentistry, and smiles. See, that didn't hurt.
Nope.
Thanks for joining us on It's Your Business.
Thank you.
The website for Dr. Nicole at Designer Dentistry and Smiles is ilovemydds.com.
Cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
I liked visiting with Dr. Nicole as well. Reminder of what's coming up the rest of the week on It's Your Business. Tomorrow, the Golf Guys, the big business of golf in 2014 with Great Life, Nutrition, Fitness, and the Works. Great Life has got a big announcement tomorrow involving one of their workout centers. Dave Osted, 10 golf centers in the Midwest, including two in Sioux Falls. Adam Scott, Golf Addiction, the Golf Simulation at 57th and Marion. Paul Doherty, Golf Etc. in the Shadows of Oak Gorman High School near Billions on 41st. Randy Dierheim, author, Pinnacle with Callaway's, Trey Foley's, and Elements on 8th. Dr. Tim Lee Burton, Specialty Orthopedics, and Dr. Max Reinecke, Reinecke Chiropractic, join us tomorrow, 9 to 10. And Friday, 2 hours, all about the Sculpture Walk and this big weekend, Saturday and Sunday at the Washington Pavilion, the unveilings of the 50 or so sculptures in downtown Sioux Falls. And when we come back, an update. What's likely to happen with South Dakota today? We'll hear from Kate Parker, who's in the house from Sanford, when It's Your Business continues. Kate Parker, Sanford, joins us this morning. Kate, with Lisa Carlson, represented Sanford on our panel of 15 or so shows that we devoted to information available for the affordable health care situation from October to the end of March. We call on those panelists from time to time now as we are outside that period. Deb Muller from Avera, Linda Jones, Community Health Association of the Dakotas, and Abby Vanderwerf from Holt McDowell to update us as we go along. All right, Kate, I got a call from Lisa this morning, said, can we still get on the show? We moved a couple of things around, but there is something that you're anticipating today, a transition policy that maybe Iowa and Minnesota have done differently. You're waiting on the Dakotas.
Yes, we are. We have talked about this before, but back in March, CMS sent all the carriers and all the insurance divisions in the states a memo extending the transition for ACA-compliant plans. If you remember back in November, we saw a similar memo that went out to all of us, basically saying if you want your plan, you can keep it, and that extended the transition about a year. Well, they've now extended it to 2 years. So the feds extended that transition policy for another 2 years, so that basically affects plans that will renew on or before October 1 of 2016. So we have an additional year that plans can keep their current plans, renew those through those years, and not be out of compliance with the Affordable Care Act. So what we are waiting for today is we received news that possibly we would be hearing from the state of South Dakota, the Division of Insurance, and the governor sending out a memo or a bulletin letting us know what South Dakota is going to allow us to do. Because this federal memo that we got basically gives the states the authority to go ahead with that transition policy and allow issuers to renew those plans through 2016, or they're not going to allow it at all.
All right. Neighboring states. Iowa did one thing. Minnesota did a different thing.
Iowa has allowed for the transition of plans. Minnesota did not. They didn't last year as well. They've got their own state-based exchange called Minsure, and so they really want to move business towards that exchange that they've developed and put together. North Dakota, we are also still waiting to hear from, and expected to do so probably this week yet.
If you were a betting lady, and you're not, what would you say will happen today?
Well, we've always had a good relationship with the Division of Insurance, and they understand, the impact that it has on the state. And I believe that they'll allow the, issuers to go ahead with this transition policy. But again, until we see that bulletin, I can't say for sure.
March 31st was the deadline.
Yes.
Okay. What was the deadline to?
Open enrollment ended March 31st. What that means is anyone wanting to go ahead and shop on the exchange, buy a plan, an individual policy off the exchange, had until March 31st to do that. We do have special enrollment qualifying events, things like that, that sort of extends it beyond that. But that was the main deadline for purchasing a plan on the exchange, on the marketplace.
I remember our last almost two-minute drill as we were talking on the 31st that this could happen, that could happen, but there were exceptions. Exceptions to what?
There are exceptions to those qualifying events. So, in essence, buying a plan outside of the exchange, you need to have a qualifying event, like having a baby, adopting a child, getting married, losing your health coverage due to a job loss, or maybe leaving a job. Those are the standard qualifying events to allow you to purchase outside of an open enrollment, and those were always sort of in place before. However, with all of the glitches, I would say, with the marketplace, the federal government has allowed for these other sort of special circumstances. And some of those include, you know, whether maybe you were in the hospital, you know, the last few days of open enrollment and you weren't able to enroll in a plan. Or let's say a tornado went through your town and, you know, obliterated your power and everything else that didn't allow you to enroll in a plan during those last few days. There are many other sort of special circumstances that they call, whether there was a glitch with the computer system or enrollment errors or Medicaid eligibility. Those are sort of these really special circumstances that allowed groups to or people to sort of extend beyond that March 31st deadline.
As I remember that deadline as well, if they had called in or they had taken a number or whatever on that date, and could show that they had actually made contact, that they were still going to be considered. Were there a lot of people that were in that part of the game?
You know, it's hard to say nationally what those numbers were. I know we did not see many of those cases come through to us. You know, a handful maybe, but not as many. But I know that I've been on calls. You know, I'm on at least 3 or 4 weekly calls with the federal government, all on different areas. But, you know, we've heard comments from other states or other carriers where they've got, you know, 200 cases that they're trying to work through. And it takes time to work through each and every one of those to figure out what those special circumstances are. And I think we've just been lucky or, you know, again, our state doesn't have the populations that other states do. So that has certainly affected the numbers that we have seen and sort of brought it down to a reasonable amount that we can deal with.
You know, as we got all the information that was being thrown at us, all the politics left and right that were being thrown at us, it was very confusing. And there were a lot of people that were over 65 that didn't know if they were included. Businesses, if they were under 50, were they included, or was it 100, whatever it might be? What should the general public know today if they're confused in any of those categories? Who do they call, and how responsive will those calls be?
You know, you're absolutely right. It's very confusing, and it has been very confusing from the very beginning. Just to sidebar a little bit, I read an article this morning and a poll that recently was done by Kaiser Health, and it really talked about, you know, what are the problems with the healthcare and do we want it repealed and sort of the politics of it. And I found it very interesting that a lot of the numbers really talk about the numbers for wanting to repeal it are really coming down. The numbers for fixing the law are certainly there to support that. And I think that that's what we need to do. And you know, one of the things is really just the technological aspect of it and really make it clear cut, like you said, for those people where it's a little bit confusing as to what they can do. You know, for whether your age, you know, over 65. And so I think there needs to be a little bit more guidance, and whether that comes from the marketplace or the federal government, or really it really comes down to the issuers and agents that are out there. Agents and brokers are out there. They have the same information that we have. And, you know, we're deciphering it, they're deciphering it. And the best thing to do is to call, you know, call us, call an agent. You know, we've talked about the navigators. They've been on the phone as well. They're a good resource as well, especially for individuals. You know, there are so many resources out there available to people that are confused. And we're, you know, we're confused as they are, but, you know, we've got a staff of people that are working on this every day to understand the rules, understand the guidelines that are coming forward. And we're doing the best we can, but we also are here to educate the public.
The best word that I can describe that came out more and more at the end was subsidy. If it had a subsidy, that's something that had a deadline, correct?
Yes. Yes.
If it doesn't have a subsidy, you can still sign up?
You can sign up off exchange without a subsidy, yes. Well, I should take that back. No, I mean, we still sort of adhere to the same open enrollment guidelines that the federal government did put forward. So you could sign up off exchange without a subsidy, you know, during the same open enrollment period, but you still have to have the same qualifying events out of the open enrollment period to sign up.
You mentioned you talk to the federal government two or three times a week, or maybe that's a month, maybe several times a month. What have we learned about the rollout that maybe could have been better, or when we get into the next enrollment period, will be better?
You know, there's always, we have conversations every week about how they're going to go about doing this better. I mean, we are right coming up to the point where we're sort of requalifying our plans for sale on the marketplace next year. So there are conversations going on, and I know that the federal government is working hard to fix the glitches and make it a better working system. They're certainly listening to carriers as to what were the problems with the online enrollment. You know, could questions be asked a little bit differently? And they're certainly taking all of what we have to say into consideration as they prepare for open enrollment next year.
All right, Kate Parker with Sanford with us. And what is it we're waiting from South Dakota today for those just joining us?
We are waiting to hear about the extension of the non-ACA compliant plans, whether that's going to be able to allow to go through October 1, 2016.
And I'm sure that will be covered on our local radio stations here at Midwest Communication, and everybody else will be wondering. And then we'll try to sort out what the heck we just heard.
Yes. Thank you, Bill.
Kate Parker, we appreciate you being with us. Appreciate Sanford, Avera, the Community Health Associations of the Dakotas, and Abby from Holt McDowell that helped us try to get the information out with the affordable health care from October to the end of March, and now on an individual basis beyond that. When we come back, we'll set the stage for the rest of the week and do a little thank you to a volunteer of the month. Crystal Waltner is Vice President of the Hartford Area Chamber. Welcome to It's Your Business.
Thanks for having me.
You know, you've been elected the Volunteer of the Month for all the things that you do. You've got a new project that you're working with in Hartford that's going to give people a chance to get their news even quicker.
Yes, Bob and Rhonda and I have started the HartfordNews.info. It is an online website for all your news articles. We also have advertising and stuff that can be available for people.
But the idea is to have an immediate place that people can go for upcoming events, pictures, and to really feel like they have a place that cares about them.
Yes, we actually want the community to submit articles to us on what they want to know about so that other community members can learn about everything that's going on. There are a lot of things that people don't realize are going on in the community when they actually are going on and they just don't know about it.
So how does somebody get involved? How do they submit an article or a picture?
They can submit an article or a picture to news@hartfordnews.info. And they can go on the website, and it has all that information also under our contact. Or they can also stop on in down at on Main Street in our office, and they can submit it that way.
Now, you have the Little Miss Hartford pageant coming up. Jamboree Day is not far away, and you've got young ladies that have a chance to represent Hartford.
Yes, our first and second grade girls in the Hartford or the West Central School District are eligible to join in and participate. And we have rehearsal on that Wednesday night, and Thursday is the pageant.
Crystal Waltner, Volunteer of the Month, Hartford Area Chamber. Congratulations, Crystal.
Thank you.
Thank you, Crystal, and thanks to the Hartford Chamber. We thank all of our guests today as we talked about starting the show. This is one of three fifth Tuesdays of the month in 2014 where we do a special show on those third or the three Tuesdays. On the first and third Tuesdays, remodelers join us with their ideas and insights about your remodeling projects. Second and fourth Tuesday, 9 to 10 o'clock, addiction and recovery. One of 10 is believed in our society to have an addiction here in Sioux Falls. Tallgrass Recovery and Face It Together and others help and support. Joan Swenson at Tallgrass leads our discussion with those that have faced addiction and are helping today with others that are facing that strange side of addiction and then day by day trying to recovery. Julie Schoolmeester joins us with Face It Together Sioux Falls. It's a show we've been doing for a year, and we know from the support we get that people are listening. And if you want to check our past shows, you can go to Kello News Talk, the website, hit the podcast, look for the topic, date of the show. Mark Brown provides the surgical tools to put the shows on our website. We also blog before our shows each day. You can go back and see what some of the topics were. Don't forget the movie Farmland, Thursday night at 7, the Century East at Dolly Farms. And Greg Belfridge will be giving away a few tickets tomorrow. We'll make maybe a set available to KTWB. Tickets are available at the door. The documentary provides an evolution of the tradition that has farm families passing the torch to the next generation. A farmer from just across the South Dakota border in Minnesota is one of five featured in the film from Academy Award-winning director James Mole. More information, go to farmlandfilm.com. What else today, Reverend?
I don't know. It's raining.
Again?
Yeah, I wish it would rain.
I wish it would stop after a period of time, after the farmers get their needs.
We need the water, Bill, the moisture. The ground needs it.
And we don't need the snow, as our friends out in the hills may get this week.
So yeah, they're going to get some snow out there. But
regardless of that, snow or rain, we'll talk golf tomorrow, 9 to 10. For now, though, our time is up. Thank you for yours.